Good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
It's lovely to see you, and it's lovely to see quite a few people I haven't seen in church for a while. So a very warm welcome to all of you. You'll notice we've got two speakers here. So if you're here on a regular basis, just let Kim know after the service if you think it makes an improvement to the quality of the beautiful music you're going to be listening to this morning. And I've got two other notices. We're launching another home group next week. So if you're interested in joining a home group, please do speak to myself. And I see growth is key to Christianity, isn't it? We want to grow in our faith. And I put three things that I see as key for that on the side: going to church, reading our Bibles, going in a home group. And John, you'd agree with that, would you? There you go. From the patriarch of the church, agrees with me. So I'm on good ground. And then it's our monthly family quest this Sunday at 3:30. And we'll be talking about the importance of remembering. And there I've got in mind remembering what God has done for us. You know, we can't forget what God's done for us. In remembering, it helps us to live well. My job is done for this morning. So who's leading today?
Me.
Me. Over to you, Jane.
Thank you, part-timer. Good morning, everyone.
He forgot to mention that.
He forgot to mention prayer.
Oh,
you forgot to mention the prayer. There's prayer. If you would like prayer after the service, there'll be someone in the...
Prayer after the service, so just make your way to the chapel area after the service, and there'll be two people waiting to pray for you.
And I said that without moving my lips then, didn't I? Mm. Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, on this day we join with all those who worship and confess you as Lord from generations past and present, and with all the angels that sing in heaven of your greatness and splendor. Lord, we adore you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we bow down and worship you. Amen.
Amen.
We say together our welcoming prayer. Lord Jesus, by your grace we gather here to worship and glorify you. Give us wisdom, courage, and love to welcome the stranger into this place, so that they too can meet with you and know your redeeming love. Amen. Please stand as we come to worship. We will be singing just the one song before the children go out.
I worship you.
please sit down. Isaac's going to bring us our prayer before the young people go out.
Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for the quest leaders. I hope you help us learn under their arms. I thank you that we can worship you and learn about you and your never-ending love without persecution. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Come to a time of confession. When we offer God our confession, we join the beautiful work of reconciliation, which begins with our reconciling with God, trusting in our partner in grace. Let us make our confession in silent prayer. Friends, hear this good news. The love of God is beyond measure, and you are included in that love. Know that you are forgiven and freed to love and serve. Alleluia. Amen.
Amen.
Come to a time of of worship songs. If you'd like to stand or sit as you feel you want to.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name. What a beautiful name it is.
Goodness of God. This morning's reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, starting to read at verse 19. It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors, because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Jesus said to them, "Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands and put my finger on those scars and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Then stretch out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me?" In his disciples' presence, Jesus performed many other miracles, which are not written down in this book. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask that the Holy Spirit will fill this place this morning. May we come with open hearts and open minds to receive from you. Amen. So, how has your last week been? Okay, pretty good. Back to normal, now Easter has gone. Back to work and life as usual. Have some of you had some holiday this week? Yeah? Some people perhaps aren't here this morning because they're on holiday, but they might be joining us remotely, I don't know. Perhaps you've been able to relax at least. Of course, that's something that we're able to do here and now in 2024, because we've been able to move on from the experience of Jesus' death and resurrection just a week ago. However, think what it would have been like for those first disciples gathered together in the upper room that first Easter evening, which is when our reading begins. Undoubtedly, they'd had a pretty amazing and traumatic few days. After an emotional Thursday evening when Jesus washed their feet and shared a Last Supper with them. Then they went into the Garden of Gethsemane, where some of those same disciples fell asleep as Jesus prayed. And then straight away there was the betrayal by one of their own, Judas, and Jesus' arrest. And yet it still continued as many of them ran away. Peter, perhaps seen as one of the greatest and strongest of the disciples, he denies knowing Jesus. Even then, there was more to happen. The crowd shouted for Jesus to be crucified, just 1 week after welcoming him in triumph. And then there was his trial, as you could call it, his torture, then his crucifixion and his burial in the tomb. And then just 2 days later, the women went to visit the tomb and came back with these stories that the tomb was empty. Jesus was raised from the dead. What a turmoil of emotions it will have been as they met together in that upper room, locked behind doors. And then into that situation, Jesus came and stood among them. How would they have felt? How would you have felt? Perhaps confusion mixed with joy? And what did Jesus do? In response to all that sadness and joy and confusion and fear and guilt, all mixed up together, Jesus simply said, "Peace be with you." See, I believe what Jesus did on that first Easter evening was to show those frightened disciples the same grace and mercy and forgiveness and love that he always showed and continues to show. He came and stood amongst them and simply said, "Peace be with you." Then he showed them his hands and his side, just to remove any doubt that it was truly him. No wonder the disciples rejoiced to see him. From lows to highs over those few days. But it also showed them that Jesus had forgiven them for all that they had done and not done over the dramatic days that had just passed. Thomas, who we hear about later on in the reading, can often be the focus of the reading itself. The doubting disciple who needed to put his finger in the marks of the nails before he would believe. But really, it's about all of those fear-filled disciples trembling behind that locked door and wondering what it all means. And for each and every one of us who are trying to live a life worthy of our Lord and Saviour, perhaps struggling with doubt and fear, and constantly falling short of what he knows, what we know that he expects from us, perhaps that's something we can relate to. This story is, I believe, also about how Jesus comes to us in the midst of those doubts and those fears, our sin and guilt, to offer each and every one of us that simple word of grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Peace be with you. That's what our risen Lord says to us all. That peace which surpasses all understanding. That peace which the world cannot give. That peace that can only come from our crucified and risen Lord. And it's a peace that comes when we most need it. Think back to a time in your life when you may have felt disappointed, when you feel you may have disappointed God. For me, there's plenty of occasions that I can recall. And then, imagine Jesus showing up at that very moment and saying to you, peace be with you. That is what our Lord does for us, each and every one of us. And that's part of the miracle of Easter. Today's reading is also about the ways in which we are called to share that peace and that joy. To share it with a world that's so filled with doubt and fear. Jesus did not join his disciples in the upper room simply to celebrate his resurrection with them. No. He also joined them to give them the gift of the Holy Spirit and to send them into the world to continue his mission. What did he say? As the Father has sent me, so I send you. The word apostle literally means one who is sent, as in a missionary, whilst the word disciple, on the other hand, literally means one who learns, one who is a pupil. And over the previous 3 years, the disciples had learned many things from Jesus by his words and his example. He had taught them about the kingdom of God and about God's purpose for them and for the world. Now these disciples, these pupils, were becoming the apostles, those who were sent out to spread the word. Seeing Jesus sent those first disciples out into the world to be his apostles, and now he sends us out into the world in the same way. We are sent out as people of God with a mission that comes straight from our crucified and risen Messiah. But this isn't just a command for us to do it in our own strength. No, he helps us to do that. That's the miracle of the resurrection. After he said to those first apostles, as the Father has sent me, so I send you, what did he do? He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And when we are baptized, we receive this new life of the risen Christ right away through that gift of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't enough for Jesus that he had conquered death through the great triumph of Easter. No, he wanted to breathe new life into those disciples, and he wants to breathe that new life into you and I, to share that new life with us. And then what are we told to do? He wants us to go out and share that new life with others. To share that new life with a world that seems often paralyzed by anxiety and fear. He wants that new life to be breathed into the world through us. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And let's face it, as we look at the world, it's definitely a world that needs new life, isn't it? And if we wonder where it will come from, well, we're told here. That new life will come from us because we are called to continue Jesus' mission. We are now the body of Christ in the world. We are God's plan to bring new life into a dying world until that day that Jesus returns again. Through our words, our deeds, our hope, our faith, our love, our witness in our daily lives, our acts of love to others, all of which is done in Jesus' name and with the help of the Holy Spirit. That is what it means to be an apostle. And that's what we are when we follow Jesus' command. So, of course, in our reading, we then hear that those apostles ran out and shared their joy with the world. Ah, no, it wasn't quite like that. Not straight away, anyway. Because we then hear a week later, those disciples, despite everything that Jesus had said and done, and the fact that he'd breathed the Holy Spirit onto them, They were still back there in the upper room. The door locked again. Has anything changed? Again, he comes and says to them, "Peace be with you." Well, there's one difference this time. Thomas is present. And of course, he hadn't been able to believe, despite the fact that the disciples had shared this great news of Jesus alive. What did Thomas say? "Unless I see the mark of nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." So Jesus again, he shows patience, forgiveness and mercy and says to Thomas, "Okay, put your fingers here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Jesus shows amazing patience, not only with Thomas, but with all the disciples. And he shows that same patience with all of us, with you and with me. In the early church, the passing of the peace, well, that echoed the greeting by the risen Lord, as if he was in their presence. And as I was preparing this, I recalled how we used to pass the peace to one another by shaking hands and sometimes just sharing pleasantries. And I understand why many were not so keen on it and why we no longer do it. But perhaps we need to remind ourselves that in sharing the peace, what we're saying is, "Peace be with you." Something solid, something tangible. It's a statement of fact. It's recognition that it's the peace of the risen Christ present in each of us that we share. Something of real value to which we need to attach real importance. Again and again, in the midst of our doubts and fears, in the midst of our sin and failings, our crucified and risen Lord and Saviour comes to us and says, "Peace be with you." He says, "Do not doubt, but believe." Again and again, Jesus forgives us, breathes new life into us, and offers us the gift of new life in Christ and the promise of the Holy Spirit. Our risen Lord reminds us of our mission to go and share the peace and the joy and the hope of this new life with our world that struggles to find peace, joy, or hope. If any of you here this morning are struggling with that, remember, as we said, there's an opportunity to receive prayer afterwards, to receive the risen Lord. Because again and again, the risen Jesus comes to us to give us that peace beyond understanding, to give us that new life, to forgive our sin, and to gently remind us not to doubt, but to believe. And then he invites us to go in peace, to serve our risen Lord. Amen.
An offering will be taken during the next song. we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that we can always trust in you. You are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy you have given us so much. We give you this offering today. With it we worship you and give our whole selves to you. Please now take it and use it for your kingdom and your glory. Amen.
We come to a time of prayer, so let us just quieten our hearts. Let us think about what we've heard this morning and sung this morning.
In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. Jesus stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Father God, help us to accept the peace you offer and to share that peace with everyone we know. Our families, friends, neighbours, and even our enemies. Jesus' disciples were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Father God, fill your church with the joy that comes from knowing and understanding that you are alive and have conquered death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Eternal God, we thank you for the generations of believers who have gone before us and have brought people to you. Help us to be your disciples in our generation and to bring others to you. Show us where to go and who to tell about the good news of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Gracious God, we pray for all the people around the world who are living in fear of war, persecution, or oppression. In a moment of silence, please bring before God any nation, situation, or person on your heart this morning. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. All the believers were one in heart and mind. Generous God, we thank you for all in our community who are able to offer help and support to others in need. We especially pray and give thanks for the work of food banks and other charities, and all the people that they support. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands." Loving God, whose Son suffered on the cross, comfort the sick and suffering with your living presence. In a moment of silence, please bring before God anyone on your heart today. And we bring before you those on our prayer board this week: Betty Beeston, Pat, William, Helen, Steve and Sheila and Ben Record, Trixie and Malcolm, Glenda Hadfield, Jeff Shripton, Carol and Tony Truman, Tony Raymond, Christine Martin, Peggy Farley, Ron Lees in hospital with dangerously low calcium and dementia. Heal and strengthen weak bodies, calm confused minds, and reassure the lonely with your company. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Jesus told Thomas, stop doubting and believe. Father God, rescue us from the doubts that surround us. Lead us to trust and believe in Jesus and the life and love he offers, that we too, with Thomas, will say, my Lord and my God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Heavenly God, your Son Jesus Christ stands among us. Breathe on us with the power of your Holy Spirit and send us out to share the peace of Christ with all who cross our paths this week. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's stand, shall we? Just before our final song, if we could just stand. Let's just look around at the people around us. And if I say, the peace of God be with you, just say, and also with you. But you can just offer your peace as we do that. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Amen. Okay, our final song is the one that you've got to interact with, the clapping and so on. If you feel able, we'd love it if when we get to the bit where it says, praise the Lord, if you go, praise the Lord, it would be fantastic. Not just for us, but for the Lord and for you. You'll feel wonderful. Let's sing.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Lord, for the time we've spent together in worship. We are grateful for this opportunity to gather in your presence to offer our praise and adoration. We thank you for the music, the teachings, and the fellowship that enriches our souls. As we leave this place, we pray that your presence will continue to be with us. Guide us and protect us, O Lord. Lead us in your ways and inspire us to walk in righteousness. May our worship be reflected in our daily lives as we seek to love and serve you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please stay for coffee if you'd like. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.